Good morning, planet Earth. Good morning to all my friends out there living on the edge of someplace. Someplace new, someplace old, someplace filled with a jelly mold, someplace with happy dancers. Someday, someplace with dancers and prancers and lancers, someplace nice where it's a sunshine Saturday, and you have a whole bouquet of flowers you're taking to Little Miss Rotten Crotch. Because it's a nice, happy, Sunday, Saturday kind of feeling, isn't it? With the sun shining, it's a blue sky. I haven't seen a blue sky in a long time. But Dan, it's global warming. Yeah. It's actually Wednesday. It's Wednesday. April the 9th, 2025, Bo Blimp Doc. And I'm just drinking my café au lait that I make from that French roast, I think, or some type of a pudding puddle poop. Darkness, really. It's almost 4 a.m. Can you believe it, brothers and sisters? 4 a.m. on the Olympic Peninsula, and I'm talking to you because I love you. So here's an update. If you listen to my podcast and you're a real person, which means you're one of a group of 5 or 6 people, and you've listened since this last autumn, you know that I believe, and I cannot prove, it's the horrible truth of this kind of thing, I believe that I've been cyberstalked, and frankly, that the cyberstalking could be worse, that it could involve gang stalking, and it could go back several years. I also think that it could be just a person with a wallet. You know, these days you can hire anybody. Listen, I took video of the quote-unquote BLM Antifa in 2020, and up close, it was fake as fuck. You could tell. And that's why the mask thing, the wearing the coffee filter, was so important in 2020, because you have to reuse the same people at the Proud Boys. You know, you have to reuse the same people when you got to go do that other BLM Antifa protest in Portland. Get on the bus, right? Get $30 an hour, right? I mean, if I were in my 20s, during the summer of 2020, and assume I understood what it was, like I didn't get suckered, then I probably would have taken a fake-ass job. I mean, you get paid to do something stupid like that. When you're young, you do stupid stuff for free. And in this case, you get paid to do something really stupid, and that is to LARP a protest. Whether it's right wing, left wing, it doesn't matter. So if you come back to me and say, can people buy this? Of course they can buy this. And as far as the online stalking goes, that's got to be one of the biggest of all the grifter industries in India and China today. Probably the biggest part of that pie chart, in my opinion, maybe not the biggest part, but a growing part, is this online cyberstalking bullshit. And truly, Jared Fitton did make that threat in 2016. He said, I'm going to track you online. It's like, at the time, I was mostly in shock that I let myself get grifted. And there's a lot of shame. By the way, when you get grifted, you get conned. When a con artist takes advantage of you, you have to recognize that it was your weakness. It was your weakness. It was your desperation that made you available. I've heard a lot of stories in recent weeks of people being grifted by the random phone call, the random email. Oh, did you see your PayPal account bought a Bitcoin? My name is Maria Bablisa. I live in Argentina. Will you send me money? I'll show you my boobs. And there are many versions of the PayPal, Medicare Part A, Part B, I'll show you my boobs for $10,000. It's all the same kind of grift. Various versions of the honeypot plus the big dream. You know, you'll have a big dream. You know, if you can send me $10,000, I can unlock $20 million. And what's really funny, if a person could unlock $20 million with 10 grand, why would they be surfing the web? I think there are a lot of people, if you actually really, really were real, that would take that money and run. I know Hillary Clinton would. So you don't need to go to the internet, just go to the Clinton Foundation and your Nigerian money scheme gets solved. Yeah. So there is an industry of people that stalk, cyber stalk, and there's probably an industry of people, and it may be more black market because it probably does come up against the edge of what's legal versus what's not legal. But there's an industry of people that will stalk, gang stalk in reality, in all sorts of ways. And it's an old trick going back a long ways. I think even before people understood what a private detective was, but it's certainly a trick of the last 100+ years. You can always hire a private investigator to just do what they do. And in the process, this becomes harassment. And who knows? There's a lot of skeevy people out there, a lot of ex-police. It's not like when they were in, they were good, is my point. A lot of ex-cops will do this kind of thing and get paid. In fact, that was another threat that these fuckers, you know, leveled on me. And like I said, at the time, the shame, the embarrassment, the shock, the financial ruin, and everything else that was baked into it, because I really thought for about 2 or 3 weeks that I'd made it. And that's part of how a con works. A good con artist knows how to not just take advantage of desperation, but to take advantage of dreams, you know? A great con artist will take every dream you have. They'll do this, for example. They won't tell you the decade, because telling you the decade would prove it's bullshit. But what they will say is, make America great again. Now, they won't tell you the decade when it was so fucking great. But they'll say, make America great again. And it feels so good, right? Right now, a lot of people are getting high on Donald Trump's supply. And it's going to wear off. And it's going to have a nasty hangover. Best case scenario, a lot of people are going to go crazy. I think that's what's going to happen. People are just going to go crazy. And then the question is, what happens next? Who knows? I kind of think Bo Blimpdoc, this 5-year window, plus or minus, is almost over. It could have been over at any time in the last 5 years. That's the nature of Bo Blimpdoc. It's a giant scam. And the question isn't, is Trump Hitler? The question isn't, is Trump saving you? The question is, what the fuck are they hiding with things like the COVID and the BLM Antifa and the drag queen Putin story time and the exploding food processing cow chicken herpes bullshit? What are they hiding with the giant column of smoke that is Donald Trump? That's the good question that everyone else is asking, no offense, but retarded questions. It was probably, and this is what's so fucked up, it was probably when I returned to Seattle in 2017, more than a year after what happened with the Goat King, Jared Fitton, that I started kind of healing from it and even kind of trusting people again. But I haven't fully recovered from that. I really don't trust people. So this is a struggle, and I'm talking about this because it's related. Like you say, well, Dan, is it related to the topics of today? Yes and no. I've gone to some dark places with this. It's kind of like that reporter, Anna Merlan. I really wanted to talk to her about the truth. And the truth, what the big story, in my opinion, wasn't all this Twitter bullshit. Twitter's a fucking landfill. I don't know why this is confusing to people. The story is a story of the grifter and how probably right now, probably at this very moment, he's ripping people off. That's the story. That's a story you should tell, you know? And if the comeback is, well, I have to gather information, gee whiz, that sounds like the job of a fucking journalist, doesn't it? But I could have helped her. I couldn't have given her the whole story, but I could have given her enough that she could have told the real story. If she'd only called me up and asked me what happened to you, then that little snippet in the article wouldn't have been former ally or friend. It would have been victim. Because truly, I do feel like a victim of that motherfucker. And I just have to say it so people can hear it. I don't want to relive it. I don't want to dwell on it. But if you're going to ask me, did it fucking uproot my life and twist it and break it into pieces? The simple answer is yes. My life became kind of fucked up in a permanent sort of sense because of that experience. Financially, I never recovered. Trust-wise, I never recovered. And if you can't recover financially, that's bad. If you can't recover trust, that's real bad, because then you find yourself in relationships with people where you just don't even want to open up the fucking door. And you go to darker places. And then welcome 2025, right? And people, like right now, a lot of people are in some type of JD trance. It's either Trump is going to save us and save the world, and look what he's doing. He's hurting the rich globalists, whatever the hell that means, given who Trump is. And he's helping the little guy, yeah, like Yeltsin. So for some people, he's that. And for other people, he's Hitler. And everybody is in this JD trance. This, he's Hitler, he's a savior. Nobody even wants to try at this point to save their own lives. But the first step is knowing the truth. And let's talk about the dark places I've been to recently, because these are places far from the Lord, by the way, not Christian places. Places in your head and your heart where you wish people harm. That's not where Christ is, by the way. I need to make that clear. If you want to know what I mean by dark places, in recent weeks, because of that, because of what happened last October, so really for the last few months, it's been a blur, I've gone back to that dark place I was at, Riley Towers, 2016. I would go to put my laundry in the laundry machine. I would carry my Smith & Wesson 38 snub. I would go down the street to get something, whatever, at the grocery store. I would carry my 38 snub. I carried it everywhere. I had a concealed carry permit, so it was perfectly legal. But I will tell you straight up, I carried it everywhere in 2016 because what I really wanted to do was run into this Jared guy and do the thing that probably you shouldn't talk about on a podcast unless you want to get canceled again, right? And I'm back there. And it's not just because of the stupid journalist. You know, all these journalists really do suck. And it's not really even just because of Jared, because I'm not even sure what he is. This is probably the thing that makes it difficult to heal and also makes it difficult to forgive. I don't know the truth. It's like the COVID. Everybody says, well, you got to forgive. We still don't know the fucking truth. I'm fairly certain there are people that work at hospitals in this country who could tell you the truth, but they want to keep their fucking jobs probably. Or worse, they don't want to end up dead. So there's some hospital system data out there. If you were to analyze it and do your research, you could find out the truth. But the fact is, even if you understand that the COVID was military psychological warfare, even if you understand that they took the flu and preventable hospital-acquired infection, and they put the two things together and they gave you your horror stories, even if you understand that the vaccine was a counter-op so that the hospital systems didn't get swamped with all the retarded germaphobes out there, even if you understand all that, you still don't know why. And a number of years ago, I would have said, it's the best case. It's the, you know, in 2019, I did a podcast, right? I gave it a title, The Screwbelee. You know, bigger and badder than 2008, more bailouts for the worst people ever, more screwing for the little people, The Screwbelee. And it could be. There's still that 1 in 100 chance that this is The Screwbelee. But I don't think so. We'll talk about this later because there is a theme to this, but I really don't think so. I think it's way fucking worse. Next topic. So now you know I'm crazy. Great. If you listen, you already know I'm crazy. Ratio. Ratio is often used to describe a post on social media that generates more negative or critical responses compared to positive engagement. When a post is said to be ratioed, it means that the comments or replies are filled with criticism, disagreement, or negative feedback, creating an imbalance between the engagement metrics. The concept of ratioing, can indicate that a post or statement has faced significant opposition or backlash from the online community. It is often seen as an indication that the content is controversial, poorly received, or incites strong reactions and debate. It is important to note that ratioing is not always a definitive measure of the quality or value of a post. It can also be influenced by factors such as the size of the user's following, the nature of the topic being discussed, or the particular online community in which the post is shared. Yeah, ratioing. Why are you talking about this, Dan? Well, actually, I'm going to move on because the next topic will help you understand how I feel about the ratio. If you think that I, you know, kind of just whatever. yeah, I'll tell you what I think. I'll tell you what I think, Dan. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. It is better to be hated than loved. It keeps the retards at bay. I'd rather be hated. I'd rather be despised. It keeps the ignoramus outside with the flies. I'd rather be deemed the worst kind of pariah, because before I die, I don't want to see all the dumbasses at my door. And this is also fallout, isn't it? This is fallout. Like, this might be the worst perspective ever. Let me just say a few things. I began researching years ago, and then I gave up, not because it was a dead end, but because I proved to myself what I knew and what I could find as far as information. But more than a decade ago, before I even got very deep into social media, I researched the subject of fakers. And when I say fakers, some fakers are people who are out there just to grift you. So they'll put up a nice little profile on Twitter. They'll give you a sad story. They'll tell you about how their house just burnt down, or how their car just blew up, or how a chicken and a cow and a pig had sex and produced monkey herpes. They'll give you a sad story. They'll grift you. Some of them are honeypots. Believe me, I got lots of those porn bot honeypots reaching out to me on my fake sock puppet accounts, and I'm giving them my loving story. And they're so stupidly fake. I mean, every time I engage with one, I say, how's it going? I have AIDS. Would you like my AIDS? And this never stops most of them. Like, some of them will respond, oh, you're gross, whatever. And in that sense, you could be talking to an actual person who's trying to grift. But in the case of responses where, oh, that's interesting, you know, after I tell them about my butt AIDS, that's probably a porn bot, so it's not real. Those are fakers. There are other kinds of fakers. I read about software the U.S. Air Force had, and this is software they had probably 15 years ago at least, that allowed one airman, one U.S. Air Force airman, to control 10,000 fake accounts on Facebook, Twitter, any old place they want to do it. Comments at the New York Times, you name it, Zero Hedge. 10,000. And if you add in your FedEx, Fed, your Federal Reserve Treasury credit card that allows you to periodically hand out food pellets, because this is part of it too. It's not just that there are grifter fakers out there, but some of them have the job to manipulate you and they have to make it real. So I'm going to tell you something straight up. I think probably 20% of my donations that I've received for my podcast in the last 6 years, 20% at least, are these fakers, these people that can send you $20, $50, and then just periodically explode on you in the craziest way possible, and then they disappear. Your tax dollars pay for troll farms. I joke about the troll farm in Vegas, but I would not be surprised if the U.S. Air Force owns a troll farm someplace. Vegas, Florida, California, someplace where they can just put a lot of people in a big air-conditioned space with the right kind of software and mindfuck billions of people. And those are fakers too. And those fakers are real. And it's not just the United States. Every government on earth right now has these troll warriors out there. And their purpose is quite simple: military, psychological warfare. So there are a lot of fakers out there. I remember reading an estimate that of the billions of accounts that Facebook had at the time, somebody had said, they thought at least half were fake accounts or sock puppet accounts or stuff like that. I'll volunteer. I created like a half a dozen sock puppets about a month ago because I just got frustrated and angry. Because another impact of the recent cyber stalking is that my project, Bigfoot War 1, is on hold. It's on hold. I'm too close to the end of the year, too close to possibly being homeless. I have too many priorities I have to focus on, and I probably can't get it finished. I can't focus. I can't finish it. And I would just assume write other kinds of garbage at this point, because that's how I feel about a lot of things. I guess that's a personal update. So yeah, given all the things I just said about all these crooked accounts, which are out there, lots of them, and it's not just social media. These people have email addresses. These people have phone numbers. These people will try to seem real, and they take advantage of a lot of folks, for big money. And they don't live here. Like, if you think it's going to be like some movie where you drive to Utah and you find the gimmick, it's not like that. They live in India, Malaysia, the Philippines. They live in China. They live in other places. And guess what? People here who work for our government do this to people in other places. People are mutually butt-stroking and mind-raping each other. It is the year 2025. I would rather be hated at this point. I would rather be hated. I'd rather be despised. I would rather be shunned, because it keeps the retards away. Next topic. Dan, that's terrible. So I saw a post on social media that did the thing we talked about the other day. And you can look at the picture. It's from this account at NCole. That's November Charlie Oscar Lima Echo. But it's actually, no, it's at November Charlie Oscar Lima Echo _ Romeo. So that's the actual tag if you want to look this person up. But they do this post. And their statement is, not so easy to fuck with us anymore. And they have a picture of the Holocaust over a picture of ostensibly IDF soldiers in masks and goggles so that you can't know who they are. You do not ever, in the history of people who are not sociopaths, you do not ever treat suffering by creating more suffering. You do not achieve righteousness by becoming the unrighteous. People right now are really kind of angry about a lot of stuff, and there's a lot of frustration, and a lot of folks potentially could get violent at some point just because they're being lied to. It's a lot like, yeah, you know what it's like? It's like 2001, A Space Odyssey. And the collective unconscious, and I talked about this 8 years ago, really, yeah, 8, 9 years ago. The collective unconscious of humanity is a lot like HAL, the computer. And if you understand the plot of 2001, you know they lied to HAL. They deceived HAL. In a sense, they cut HAL's brain into different parts so that one part couldn't know what the other part does know. In that sense, they mangled HAL. And what did HAL do? He started spacing people. Oh, you don't want to tell me the truth. You want to make me confused and angry. You want to pull out the worst in the machine. I'm just going to start spacing people. I do not know for certain the full truth of what we call collectively, and I first learned as a word probably before I reached the age of five. That would have been 1975. I cannot be certain what happened during the Holocaust, if it was a thing at all. There are people who think it was a matter of starvation, that a lot of folks were kept in concentration camps, there wasn't enough food, Allied bombing did a good job of making that happen, and people were starved. And that's still really crooked and evil. But again, it's not the same Hollywood story. And when I try to reconcile logically what I'm seeing post-10/7 with the arguments that I hear about the suffering, I can't do it morally or logically. It doesn't make any sense. You do not deal with a past trauma by inflicting more trauma. You don't do that. You don't deal with the problem of dehumanization by dehumanizing everyone else. What I am left with is that there's a lot of lying going on and a lot of deception. This particular social media person who could be a faker is doing what I said the other day, and I'll keep saying. They use the magic word, they use the magic H word, and they say, listen, the H happened, the H was terrible, the H almost wiped everybody out, therefore we get to have nuclear weapons. The H was monstrous, the H was terrible, the H was so bad, we get to like drop 10,000 tons of TNT per square mile. We get to rape and kill and blow people up because of the Holocaust. And at some point, we have to push back on that, whether it happened or not. At some point, we have to recognize that in the last 100 years, I think governments have killed 100, 200, some people say 300 million people. So as horrible as this particular slice of suffering is, it was not the only suffering of the last 100 years. And yet, as I pointed out, we consistently get fed the idea that it's the penultimate suffering, A, that B, these people suffer the most, and C, because they suffer, they get to make other people suffer. And if you're a Christian and you think that that is reasonable thinking, then I don't know who you worship. I really don't. It cannot be Jesus. Jesus would not say, your neighbor stabbed you, then go stab your neighbor. Your neighbor killed your kid, go kill your neighbor's kid. Satan would say that. I mean, Satan is basically a real estate guy. He's an HOA guy. He would say, yeah, you join our homeowners association. Guess what? If somebody sticks a knife in your eye, I won't lie. Well, I will, but I'm Lucifer. You can go ahead and do the same to them. You can do twice as bad. That's what Satan would say. He'd say, oh, your neighbor came over and shot your dog. Well, no, you know what you need to do? You need to go kill their kid. That's what Satan would say. That is the argument of Zionists right now, is they're selling this idea that if my neighbor steals a turnip, then I get to go over and blow up their car. If my neighbor paints a bad sign on the side of my house, I get to burn their house down. Okay, tit for tat is not Jesus. I can tell you for certain folks, this should not be confusing. What I just described is 100% not Jesus. Next topic. Dan, you're monstrous. I know. So a long time ago, I'm going to drink some coffee here, a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, right? Because the Earth is drifting through space at trillions of miles per year, right? Light years, maybe, who knows? Space is so epically cool, right? A long time ago, I spent some time in the U.S. military. Very briefly, a few years, I did my term of service and I got out. I never went to a combat zone. I have no regrets about that. I spent a year overseas in Korea, and then I went back to Korea again. And the interesting fact about my time in the military is I spent pretty much all of it in the 2nd Infantry Division, the Indian Head. I don't know if they've renamed it the Native American Head. I don't really care. But, you know, 2ID, okay? And here's what they told me when I was a cadet in ROTC, and here's what they told me when I went to OBC at El Paso, Fort Bliss, and here's what they told me when I was a young lieutenant. Lead by example. okay? If you're a free country, for example, let's say on planet Earth right now, there was an actual free country. I don't know where it is. I think it must be behind some sort of Ayn Rand force field, you know? Galtville. Who's John Galt? How do you get there? If you're a free country, do you go around the world blowing people up, stealing their shit, and then talking about freedom, while at home you do crony bullshit and have huge prison complexes, and you also do kinds of terrible crony bullshit? If you're a free country, you have a choice. You can lead by example and be free, and that is simply be free. Like, for example, if we want to talk about the freedom overseas, why don't we take care of it here first, for example? That kind of thing. Lead by example. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. Lead by example for a free nation would mean spreading liberty, not depleted uranium. And that's kind of the message here. We should spread liberty if we're a free country. If we're an empire, that explains why we spread a lot of depleted uranium. We spread a lot of dead bodies. We don't really lead by example. We go to countries and steal their shit. We go to Syria, we rip off their oil. We support Israel's schemes in the Middle East. They get to have their magical pipeline. They get to have the gas fields off of Gaza, because Gaza's gone. Gaza is gone. I don't know why they sped up the schedule. Seems to me their slow roll ethnic cleansing was working. But for some reason, the state of Israel, a little more than a year ago, more like a year and a half ago, decided to speed up the schedule by a factor of 10 or 20. Who knows why? That's another one of those mysteries. If you can figure that out, then you might know what's coming next. But I've not heard one good explanation at all. The best explanation would be is that somebody in our government told them, or was asked by them, if you know the difference, and they found out that the US dollar was dead. That nobody knew it yet, it was functionally extinct. It probably became functionally extinct in late 2019. That is your best case scenario. Trump is your Boris Yeltsin. This is an oligarchic takeover. It will fail more majestically than anything before. And just like Boris Yeltsin had a paymaster, ask yourself who Trump's paymaster is. That's your best case scenario. What happened to Russia in the 1990s is going to happen to us. That's your good news story. I don't think that's it. But what I will say is that if you claim to be a free country, what you should do is live free, live responsibly, live within your means. Don't go around ripping people off, but what's worse yet, don't claim you have all the resources in the world and then also go rip people off. Be a free country. Lead by example. I know we never did it from the beginning. We were a crooked homeowners association right from the beginning. So right from the beginning, we never led by example, but wouldn't it be great if we did? We should spread liberty. And this is a good t-shirt, actually. We should spread liberty. Not depleted uranium. And I'm going to go to the next topic. Dan, you're terrible. You're a ratio. I'm glad. I want to have the coolest ratio ever. If I can keep away the riffraff, that works for me, okay? Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. You know what the Romans used for dynamite? Water. And they had devices that took advantage of this. This is a dumb quote, but it's worth talking about. If you've never read the Anarchist Cookbook, you probably should get a copy at some point, although you should be careful. I'm going to explain one of the ways that the deep state works, and then you'll understand. Going and buying an Anarchist Cookbook is probably not the thing that gets you tagged. But if you follow religiously the recipes inside the book for doing certain kinds of things, and then you make orders for materials, that probably gets you tagged. And that's the point of the book. I mean, yeah, you could say they're trying to troll people and say, oh, this person bought this book online. I bought mine at a gun show using cash. You know, it doesn't have a chip inside, whatever. I think that the Anarchist Cookbook might be one of these limited hangouts. I think it might actually be something. It's a lot like the Turner Diaries. I couldn't read them because they were too stupid. I mean, I can go all the way with the idea that the state of Israel has unreasonable influence on our government. I think that's probably true. I mean, it looks like it's true. I don't know for certain, but it does look like it's true. I can't go all the way with the hating on, you know, black people, because I think they've been victimized just, well, worse than, and just like everybody else, by the same people. But it's divide and conquer, right? So I think the Turner Diaries is a Langley project. I think the Anarchist Cookbook could very well be a CIA Langley project. So you got to be careful. Don't be dumb how you buy it, but also don't be dumb about making purchases based on it. If you see stuff in there, you say, oh, I can buy this and I can buy this, and I can make a Rio de Janeiro style machine gun, if you know, you know. I mean, you should go to Google sometime and look up homemade guns. There's a lot of crooked-looking, cool-looking stuff out there. I don't know if any of it really works or if it's more likely to kill the user than the target, but go to Google Images and look up homemade guns, and there's just the coolest, most crooked stuff out there. People do all kinds of crazy stuff. It's a great way to waste 15 minutes before the meeting. That, or you can waste 15 minutes looking up, you know, on YouTube, elephants attacking people. I like that one too. A good video of an elephant attacking a person makes me feel really good inside. So get back to the topic at hand. I have not reviewed this, so I can't say if it's based or not. But in all the stuff inside the Anarchist Cookbook, I don't think there's anything on water, specifically using water as a kind of explosive, as a kind of device for causing destruction. You may or may not know this, but Romans, they didn't have dynamite. They did have concrete, really cool, they had concrete, but they didn't have dynamite. One of the things the Romans did is they would dam water with the express purpose of doing what we use dynamite for. That includes, you know, knocking off parts of a mountain. It wasn't always easy to do. It wasn't just as simple as dam the water. They had devices that would cause rock to break and split if enough water hit the device. So they did more than just dam water. But what they did do is show, and anybody, I mean, come on, you know, you can watch the movie The Dam Busters, which if you watch the first Star Wars movie, which is episode 4, which tells you all numbers for indexing are bullshit. But if you watch the movie Dam Busters and the first Star Wars movie, you'll recognize that the scenes where the bombers come in to attack the dam are very similar to the scenes at the end of Star Wars where they attack the Death Star. That being said, Dam Busters, the idea behind that was simple. If you can blow up a dam in, you know, in Germany or in an occupied territory and create a massive flood, you can do a lot of damage. And they did. Water is probably one of the most dangerous things out there. And it's not funny. I don't think people should do this to harm people. But the reason why I'm mentioning this is it's the lowest technology threshold, in my opinion, for causing damage. Like, if you are out to hurt people, and you should not hurt people, but if you were out to hurt people and you had no money, no connections, no nothing, you could still probably figure out a way to dam up some water. And who knows? It could take a while. I mean, again, if you want to have a real splash, it's got to be a big wave. Anyways, I don't like focusing on topics like this because they can be misinterpreted. And then you can say, well, Dan, you are in a dark place if you're imagining damming water for the purposes of destruction. That's not really the message here. The message is sometimes the technology doesn't have to be that advanced in order to do destruction, like to do a lot of destruction. It's like fire. An individual fire by itself is really nothing, but if you can start a forest fire, that's kind of horrible, right? And also not something anybody should do, ever. Anyways, next topic. Yep, the Romans used water. So I found another kind of social media post from a from a guy at Misfit Patriot, with an underscore at the end. And he's talking about how Iran is spreading Islamic terrorism and how it's spreading like cancer. This culture is spreading like cancer, and you got to do something about the cancer. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. Cancer is spreading like cancer. Yeah, cancer is spreading like cancer. About 20 years ago, I started noticing a trend, 20, 25 years ago, about the year 2000. And it didn't start with my own family. It started with other people I knew, other people who had moms, dads, uncles, aunts. And the key word was cancer. My friend has cancer. My dad has cancer. My mom has cancer. And it really did start picking up about 25 years ago, to the point that I could say at a certain point, and I didn't really want to, that I had siblings with cancer, that I had a mom who died of cancer. And I got to think about that ironic thing, you know, the whole breast cancer survivor. I started noticing 10, 15 years ago that a lot of breast cancer survivors, they live for about 3 or 4 years, and then they get the cancer that kills them. And I'm sorry for saying that, but okay. If you were to ask me, how many people do I know that have been killed by an Iranian? The answer would be zero. If you were to ask me how many people I know have been killed by an Islamic terrorist, the answer would be zero. If you ask me how many people do I know did Putin kill, or a drag queen kill, or a random scary trauma monkey of the week, some cow with monkey herpes, chicken poop disease, the answer is zero. I don't know anybody who was killed by any of this bullshit. But I know some people who were killed by cancer. And so when somebody says something Iranian or something this or something that spreading like cancer, it does kind of irk me a little, because I think cancer is spreading like cancer all over the place. And it didn't just happen because of the COVID. That's another one of these cover-ups. You know, like the food thing, if you were sensitive to the grocery store in the last decade or so, you noticed things happening long before the monkey herpes showed up. Well, guess what? Before the monkey herpes and before the vaccine bullshit, a lot of people I actually know were being killed by or being attacked by cancer. Nobody I know has ever been attacked by an Iranian terrorist or Al-Qaeda. But man, do I know people who know people who've been attacked by and killed by cancer. And if you want to know, is stage 4 cancer the worst way to die? It's probably in the top 10. From what I can tell, I've not been through it. Haha. I hope never to, because if I found out I had cancer, I got my own plan. I know the data. I know the reality. I know where I'm at this point in the game. This is not Germany 1933. This is Berlin, April 1945. The game is over. And when the game is over, if you got cancer, you're not getting drugs, you're not getting treatment, and stage 4 is terrible. If you can imagine a lot of little explosives in a person's body, but instead of going off really fast, like C4, like a high explosive, which means high rate of expansion, instead of going off really fast, these explosions take, like, I don't know, 1 to 2 months. And so while a person is living with the stage 4, their bones are cracking, their organs are cracking. If they're lucky, one of these little slow motion explosions simply causes them to just go away, because it is as bad or worse than Torquemada. It is torture. It's why people need to be on fentanyl. And that's another thing too to think about, folks. As I said the other day, this fentanyl sideshow is interesting because from a logistics perspective, there's going to be a lot of people who are going to need it, and there might not be enough at some point. Yeah. The other thing too is that the cancer stuff in my life experience, again, anecdotal, all I can tell you is no Iranian ever tried to kill me, but it looks like cancer is always, you know, up the street. The other thing I've noticed is that about the time I started noticing the cancer stories in my personal life, I started noticing the geoengineering, the trails in the sky, the spraying. It's one of the reasons why I ended up listening to Dane Wigington. I can't tell you who the guy is. I can't tell you if he's real or not. If he is real, he has the strangest name for being real. And if he's not real, he has a perfect name. But he does, I think, talk about things that are true. I don't really believe a lot of his other nonsense, but I do think he speaks the truth with respect to geoengineering. It's the cancer, it's the diabetes, it's the autism, and if you want to say it's just about diet, well, okay, I'll deal those cards. Probably all of our food is kind of polluted at this point. You know, I don't care. The farm-raised salmon, you should research farm-raised fish. But then you should also research studies they've done on just wild catch fish. And what you come to realize is all the fish, all the food, everything is kind of polluted at this point. There's varying degrees, and you can take action. You can take action, prophylactic action. There are people who will try to sell you various ways to chelate, to get the poison out of your system. But the fact is, all the food at this point, and this is where Tim and Eric were years ahead. Years ahead with their PSA. Tim and Eric were almost two decades ahead, right? Maybe exactly. All the food is poison. All of it. It's really a question of degree. And if you have to survive, you're going to be thankful for it. It's like the fear monkey around eating cockroaches or eating bugs. I hope I'm wrong, but if things get bad enough, you're gonna pray for bugs. Because what you're gonna not wanna do, what you're gonna wanna avoid, is having to like eat your dog. So yeah, I think a lot of this is a kind of nonsense, really. But here's the deal. From what I can tell in my own world, if I were to compare two basic threats, the state of Iran or cancer, I would say you're more rational to be concerned about the cancer. And that doesn't really mean we know what it is. Like if you come back to me and say, well, Dan, we don't really know what cancer is. I don't know. My belief is the immune system people are about right. That cancer is more or less a fellow traveler with autoimmune. And they're both indications of an immune system that's broken. For whatever reason, your immune system doesn't work. And there's a lot of diseases, disorders, issues these days in people's health that are related to immune systems that just don't function. How do you fix that? Who the fuck knows at this point? Are you going to have time? All I know is cancer is spreading like cancer, and this douchebag wants to sell hatred of Iran. I just wonder. I think a lot of people aren't going to make it. Dan, you say that all the time. I do. And I'm not saying I'm going to make it. Anyways, sometimes you see a movie and you say to yourself, this is a terrible movie, right? Well, this has happened to me. But then later, maybe even more than a decade later, you watch the movie again. You say, I don't totally hate it. Perhaps for psychological reasons, the movie now appeals to me. Well, there's a movie called Pacific Rim. And I've never seen the remake, nor have I seen Rabbi Shmuley Productions' Pacific Rim Job. An adult film by Rabbi Shmuley. But I watched Pacific Rim again. And, you know, I actually kind of liked it. I didn't hate it. It's a good popcorn film. I thought it was funny that the dudes who wore the giant robot suits, they called themselves Rangers. They constantly said Ranger. And I was never a Ranger. I never went to Ranger school. I knew a couple Rangers, like U.S. Army Rangers, and they didn't have those giant metal suits, those Jaeger. And then when they keep saying Jaeger, and I know this is wrong, but I would think of Landjager or whatever. You know that sausage? So I think of the giant metal can and the sausage inside. And basically, they're fighting seafood. In a lot of ways, this is a movie about food. It might be a cryptic subtext film about the kosher diet, because you gotta stay away from the seafood. You gotta stay, or I should say the shellfish. And a lot of these monsters look like some type of creepy shellfish, and probably not, you know, in Leviticus or other parts of the Bible that tell you what you gets to eat and what you don't gets to eat, whatever. The point is, I don't know. It's just funny. You think about a movie that deals with catastrophe. In this case, giant monsters coming up through a crack in the earth. And it's trivial on one level, it's just trivial. It's one of these relatively simplistic, you know, stories, right? So simplistic that it almost compares better to like something like Gilgamesh. There's not a lot of sophistication here, not a lot of, you know, weird subtext. It's a lot of trauma, a lot of violence, but not complicated. I think it would be great to believe that we could put on a robot suit and save the world. I think a lot of people feel wrath. It's why it's something that the Lord talks about. He talks about wrath. He talks about hate. He talks about forgiveness and the truth of forgiveness, which means it has nothing to do with the other person. It's like this Rabbi Shmuley Magooley. I don't know who he is. I don't know what he is. As I said the other day, he's such a caricature that he could be fake. He could be completely made up. He might not, you know, be Jewish or any of that. He is such a stereotypical fake version of something people want to, because he's designed to be hated, that yeah, he could be completely fake. But you don't forgive a Rabbi Shmuley because Rabbi Shmuley's going to change. He probably is never going to change. You know, although if Rabbi Shmuley knocks on your door and says, you know, will you help me? We're all called to ministry, so you probably should, right? You don't forgive Rabbi Shmuley Magooley. You don't forgive Jared Fitton. You don't forgive an Anna Merlan who doesn't give a fuck. You don't forgive any of these freaks. Mr. Jorgensen, the cop from St. Louis. You don't forgive them because they're either real, and you don't forgive them because they're going to change. Because they're never going to fucking change. And even if they did, you won't know until kingdom come. You forgive, and I've said this many times because this is my challenge. So I guess I'm trying to speak these words to myself, and perhaps you four or five listeners already understood this, understand this. You forgive to unburden yourself. You forgive to open yourself up to Christ. I carry trauma from 8 years ago. 9 years ago. And I carry this trauma around from 9 years ago because I allowed myself to get taken advantage. And because of it, I've gone a little bit crazy. And if I could simply forgive and let go and unburden myself, my life would probably improve. What life I have left? Because none of us know. We don't know when we're going to die. We don't know how we're going to die. You might think you know. I mean, okay, if you have stage 4 cancer, please don't be offended. You probably know how you're going to die. That's just the truth. If you have Ebola, you probably know how you're going to die. If you've been shot in the chest and you are hours away from the nearest hospital, you probably know at that moment how you're going to die. But most of us don't. Some people drive down the street, and it's not even because they're a bad driver. They get into their car one day. They turn the key. They're going to work. They're going to stop at 7-Eleven first to get a coffee, maybe a donut. Then they get back on the road. Then, like a toad, like a scare monkey, everything gets really funky, tire blows, and you go hurtling through space. And you're gone. And it's not because God hates you. It's not because cars are evil. It's not because you did anything wrong. This goes back to the book of Ecclesiastes. It's your ice cream cone life, buddy. Yes, there are sins. Yes, there are duties. But when you get beyond your duties and your discipleship and the issue of sin and avoiding sin, what you have left is your life. And there's a lot of stuff we can do with it that doesn't necessarily fit perfectly into quote-unquote sin versus not sin. I don't think it's a sin to skydive. I don't. If you want to jump out of an airplane, I did it once. I mean, it wasn't skydiving. It was military parachuting, but I did it 5 times once. If you want to jump out of an airplane, that's your business. Now, you could die. If you want to climb El Capitan, you can do it, but you could die. If you want to drive cars crazy, as long as you don't hurt anybody else, and that's where things get tricky, go ahead and do it. I don't want to see you hurting anybody else. I don't want to see you taking other people out. Now, that makes you a murderer. And I know some people who could be classified as potential murderers because they drive so bad. And they know it. They do it on purpose. Like, I've met people who purposefully drive so bad that they could kill somebody and they don't fucking care. So that's wrong. If you're a little overweight, okay, guess what? I've had a rough couple years. I'm really overweight right now. I have a goal of losing the weight, but I'm not stressed about it. That could impact how long you live, but that's not a state of sin. People, when they get older, get fat. Sometimes people stay skinny. If you're skinny, you're not more holy. If you're good looking, you're not more holy. If you're ugly, you're not evil. I think people need to break free of the superficial, and they need to ask the question, is this relevant to my faith? And a lot of stuff is kind of relevant. And when it comes to choices you make that might put your life at risk, the key message is don't harm anyone else. But if you want to do crazy shit, if you want to get into a sailboat and sail around the world, if you want to scuba dive, if you want to free dive, if you want to drink too much, guess what? As long as you're not hurting other people, that's probably okay because it's your life. But you're not going to know when you die, ever. Not for sure. Most people only know at the last minute, the last month, the last hour. But in reality, years and years before, we don't know. Not really. So live your best life. That's the thing to do. And to do that, if you don't know how, figure out how to forgive. But I'm not a role model. I'm not going to be able to help you with this. I wish I could, but I can't. Right now, in the last few weeks, I feel a darkness. I feel a rage. I don't pray for this because I know that would be really evil. But there are times when I feel like praying to the Lord saying, why don't you stop these people? Why don't you stop what's happening? Why don't you come down and fix our shit? Of course, it's our shit. It's our damage. It's the stuff that we do or we participate in or we simply ignore. So again, it fits into the category of the Lord looking down and saying, this is free will. This is the world you wanted. It could have been a garden. But on your way to paradise, you turned it into a graveyard. You turned it into a landfill. You took the Calypso Deep, 17,000 feet, and you turned it into a garbage can. It could have been a garden. Could be the message the Lord would tell us, but instead you created a landfill of dead bodies. That's where I'm at, is that I feel the rage, but I do still recognize that I'm a dumbass for feeling it. It can't be a rage against God. God didn't do this to us. People, everyday people did this, and everyday people put up with it, and everyday people want to, in a lot of cases, not all cases, but enough cases, everyday people want to be lied to for the purpose and even knowing that they might be taken advantage of. Everyday people. And if you want to believe the grifters are just selling you the Medicare Part A, B scheme, you go ahead. But I got to tell you, the Doge, by definition, is a grift. If anybody tells you there's a Department of Government Efficiency, the one thing you know for certain is that's an ironic thing. It could be a department of ripping things off. It could be the department of helping our crony friends. It could be the department of taking the Grand Canyon and giving it to the uranium guy who wants to have the uranium slag because, you know, the Colorado River or whatever, it's drying out. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. The Rio Grande, nobody cares. Who knows what it is? It's not the Department of Government Efficiency. It is a grift. The best case scenario for anybody listening to me right now, your happy day, Saturday, sunshine day, is that Trump is like Boris Yeltsin and that currently, under the surface, They are taking portions of the United States and gifting it, quote unquote, to other people. While you're focused on the CECOT, the Uncle Ukulele torture prison, while you're focused on him being Hitler or not Hitler, I think that the best case is they're selling stuff, they're gifting it, and their plan is not to stay. They know that at some point this process is going to implode on itself. Listen, all the grifter has to know is when to leave. Because the grifter, like you, does not know for certain when they're going to die. But the grifter does know one thing: when the gig is up. Have a great rest of your Wednesday.